I remember this some years back. All right, the coach of Borussia Dortmund then. Borussia Dortmund is a German club, was doing so well in the Bundesliga, that's German league there, that people were coming out and saying, you know, Real Madrid wants him. Barcelona, we heard, so it was the press conference, and all the journalists were saying, we hear Real Madrid wants you. We hear Barcelona, you're going. There's rumor you're going. And he kept trying to tell them, no, I'm not going, I'm not going. Look, I'm here, I'm going to leave. They kept pressing. At one point, he just stopped. You know he didn't want to say it. And said, you guys forget something, that I am an evangelical. I don't break my word, neither do I break my contract. Everywhere went quiet. And that was the end of the discussion. The German public understood what it meant to be an evangelical. They understood that these people honored their contracts. In other words, that's what it means, that you are now credit, you are credible, right? And they say credit is more important than cash. When you are credible, which means that is that credit you are going to use to navigate, all right, in things. There are facilities you get that you can't collateralize it. There is no collateral you can have to back that kind of money. But it is only given to people at that level, all right, who they know that their word is their bond. If they say something, and that's why some people find it difficult to even get seed capital to start out in business. Because the people that have the money that know them know that these people, their word doesn't mean anything. Right? So it's difficult. The relatives that have interacted with them, the friends that have interacted with them, they know. So they find it difficult, all right, to get that initial amount to even start up in life. So your credibility is very important there, right? Which means you understand that you're a credible person. Are you following what I'm saying? And that is where, all right, because money is actually a transfer of, which means I find you credible. So once you say it, people understand that that is your bond. Let me also say this here. Therefore, in business, you understand that, all right, what you are doing is really human relationships. You are interacting with people. You have the idea there that is profitable. The way this thing is going to be multiplied is through, all right, these relationships. That's what business is about. Now, so you understand this, that if I tell a person that I will deliver something at 6 p.m., and it's time sensitive, right? And at 6 p.m. I couldn't make it. It was out of my control. And I delivered it the next day at 5 p.m. And I charged 100,000. And my profit was 30,000. Or it's 30,000. In order to do the just thing, I go there 5 p.m. tomorrow and I say, here are the clothes, or whatever it is. But instead of me paying 100,000 because I did not keep to time, you decide that 20, which means 2/3 of your own profit to take it off for the sake of being credible, right? So that you don't build a voice against it, right? You can have it at 70,000 or 80,000, right? So the person understands, because that is what business is really about. This kind of transactions, all right, between people there. So the reward system, and also protecting yourself, right, understanding the power of contract agreement, written and verbal, right? It is not just legal, it is spiritual, okay? That's what happened if we look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 9. Jude chapter 1 and verse 9 here. Look at what it says here. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, and they disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. In other words, it says that because Satan or Lucifer was higher ranking, he couldn't speak to him there. So what he did was that he went through God and said, God, rebuke, all right? He understood the power structure, so he didn't go and start talking and all of that. That's not a wise thing to do, all right? He went to God and said, God, rebuke, all right, him. And when somebody says, God, rebuke, and they pray, right, from a right position, let us look at the effect of it. When they say the Lord rebuke, it's not a matter to joke with here. When we look at Genesis chapter 31, we see, right, what happened, Genesis chapter 31 there. We see Jacob and Laban. Now, we will see what happened between Jacob and Laban. If we get to verse 38, And when Jacob was leaving with all of Laban's stuff, he said, "These 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of your flock have I not eaten," which means I dealt with you in all integrity. "That which was torn of the beast, I brought not to thee," which means if an animal attacked the beast and it was torn, I didn't even tell you about it. "I bore the loss of it by myself. Of my hand did thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night," which means I took it from my own earnings and made sure, right, your profit was intact, even when I could make an excuse. "Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night," which means sometimes I spent all night in the cold on the floor, "and my sheep departed not from my eyes," just to make sure I took care of your sheep. Then hear what he said. "Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, 6 years for thy cattle. And you changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. But God had seen my affliction and the labor of my hands." Look at what he said. "And last night he rebuked you." In other words, that transfer of everything was the Lord rebuking. So you don't want to be in a position where somebody is crying to God that, "God, you know, this is unjust." All right? It's important. These are some of the things that affect people, all right, in this particular area here in terms of business dealings. Then we go to the three barriers for growth. Three barriers, all right, of growth there. Okay, in business. Now, any business that is not growing, these are the three things that is causing it, right? These are the three things. Number one, there are no set goals inside that business with time frames. So if you go into the place and ask, "What is your set goal for the next 3 months or for the next 1 year? How much revenue do you want to generate?" People will look at it and say, "What are you talking about?" All right? Anything that is not growing. What is happening is that they are just hoping that things will fall into place. And a lot of Christians today just hope that, you know, things will just fall into place. Hoping is not a strategy for growth. That I just hope things will get better. It's not a strategy. You must decide that things will get better. And then you must decide with your authority in God, right, how the better the things are going to be. In other words, within 1 year, this is where we are going to be. So unless an organization has the ability to determine where it is today and know where it will be in the next 1 year, it is not on a trajectory for growth at all. In fact, it might not even, it's not on the track for survival. So it's important, right, that it is clear this is what our goal is. This is where we are going. And if where we are going is this, and we are going there in the next 1 year, so it becomes clear to all of us, if we don't get there in 1 year, the team therefore must change. Don't you agree? Don't you watch Premiership? When your team loses 4-0, 4-0, 3-0, 3-0, you start screaming in your house, "Sack this coach! Sack this coach! Sack that player! Sack!" You are all emotional. And God said, "This day, are you judging yourself? For as you are saying sack, you two belong to a team. As you are saying sack this person," God says, "You don't know. You are on a team. The team is not producing results. You say they shouldn't sack. You are using emotion. But you are saying sack." You remember the wicked man, when he talked, he said, "Because you're a wicked man," Jesus, he said, "it's your mouth that used to say it. I didn't judge you, you said it." When God was going to catch David, he sent the prophet, "Tell him there's a rich man somewhere, one manna, just one smoke, that's all he had." And another man took it. He said, "What should happen?" David said, "Eh? That man shouldn't see the sun tomorrow. He must die before the day runs out." He said, "You are that man." So when you say, sack the coach, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. What you are saying is that results is the name of the game. All right? People don't produce when they are not in a result-oriented climate. I told them fourth service last week, you have my permission. If you start a business and you hire any member of Covenant Christian Center, I told them fourth service, you have my express permission. If they are unproductive, if they get to the business and they open the Bible and they are reading the Bible, they cheer and them carry out together. All right? Take them out of the building and say, you can go to where you are coming from. I said, you have my permission to do that. You are there for business and to produce, even if they say we are confessing church scripture, let them go. One of the leaders, after he told me, he said, there are two members of church I had to sack. Thank you, you said that. He said, because they're in church, and he comes up, takes announcement. He said, they see me, and I had to sack them. He said, but there are three others who also are church members, but they are doing very well. He said, you know what? I didn't even know they were church members until later. But the ones that are not doing well, the first thing they will say is, you know, I see you in church. Are you following what I'm saying here? He said, thank you, you relieved me, all right, today. All right? So it's important there, right, that you have that. Now, as the set leader, whether you are leading a team in an organization or you are leading the entire thing, you must understand that now your business is you are the forerunner of whatever vision is coming, which means you enter it first in order for others to come in. What am I saying? The mind is the most powerful tool in terms of distinguishing results in business. So, with your mind there, Jesus said, as far as this covenant is concerned, if a person lusts in his heart, he has committed it. So, as far as this covenant is concerned, if something has happened in your soul, it is going to happen in your life. So, what you do as the leader there is you are the forerunner, which means you go within the veil. All right, so how do you go within the veil? It says, come with confidence and rejoicing in hope from unto the end. So you must have declarations that you are making. And in those declarations you are making, you experience inside your soul the fulfillment of those things, those goals there. These are confessions and declarations you are making. And then at the same time, you rejoice. To rejoice means to enjoy the feeling of being in possession of something. So you enjoy with a song the feeling of being in possession. You rejoice about it. Rejoice about it. Enter into the fulfillment of it. What that does to you is that you're beginning to make contact with the substance of that thing. And so, in communicating with people, there will be an aura of confidence, there will be a calmness there. People will look to you and find strength that we are going to get to this particular place because the spirit of that place, all right, that new position, you are carrying it on the inside of yourself because of the interaction you've had with God on behalf of that vision there. And so, you are able to impart, all right, things to people. So, that's number one, set goals, and then you enter into the fulfillment of it. The second thing is, all right, there has to be a system where you are getting feedback on what is really going on, right? As your organization interfaces with people, you must get the feedback. God showed me the importance of feedback. He said, if the head is not getting signals, all right, from the part of the body, which means here is the fingers here. The finger gets into fire. What happens is the finger on itself doesn't decide to pull. The finger sends a message right to the brain saying that this thing is this hot. And then the brain, all right, in a fraction, all this in a fraction of a second, sends back a message to the muscles and it pulls out. Now, can you imagine the hand going into fire and it doesn't send any signal to the brain that I'm burning? So it just keeps burning. And keeps burning. And that's what begins to happen in organizations, which means there is no feedback. The person is not getting any feedback from people. He's died there on the field. All right? And that's why you can't have a culture where people hide and protect themselves and protect, all right, their back and feel that we are covering up for one another and are building clans and loyal groups there that are covering up. All right, that kind of culture should not be tolerated because it has to come back and decisions have got to be made, right? We say in this church here that we love feedback. Nobody, if you tell me anything and I see it and it send a mail and it goes through the feedback, it comes directly to me, I see it on my phone. If I read it and what the person is saying is correct, within, all right, 3 minutes, I get in touch with the head of department and I tell the person that, hear this is what I heard. These are the adjustments that you have got to make. Within 3 minutes, I tell the person, right? So it is very important that you get that, because that's how you know. So it's important. Keep track of what's going on. Respond to the problems as they arise. Do not, all right, if you don't have the culture where you don't respond to problems, okay? So Nokia says we did everything right. We don't know what happened. I can tell the CEO of Nokia if I see him that somebody walked into your office and said to him, sir, can you see what Samsung is doing? They are making this adjustment. What do you think? And he felt we are the king of telephone. We are the king of telecom. If we don't do it, it doesn't really count for anything. And he didn't respond. Somebody else will have come again and said, can you see this, sir? These people are making changes here in Apple. Don't you think we should respond to this? And he didn't respond. We are the king. Can't you see? By the time they woke up, right, the entire business was gone. Nothing happened that will damage you without it coming to the site. So you must, all right, watch well, and that's where humility comes in. Understand that you only have a fraction of the wisdom, all right? That's why as a person, I never plan anything fully. I tell people, this is how we go with it. I mean, we've talked about sales system in this place. We've said things. People have come to approach me and said, Pastor, listen, I want to form a cell. This is how it is. It conflicts with the, it's slightly invariant with the demographic in the way you have done it. What should I do? And I tell you, are you in perfect agreement with the people? Yes, go ahead and do it. All right? Somebody came to me in the cell leadership meeting. They picked 4 people to be cell leaders and said, Pastor, I have a question. I said, what's the question? He said, we had decided that 4 of us will be in our cell together and the 4 of us have been picked as leaders. We really believe in an agreement. I said, are you guys in agreement? They said, yes. I said, go and form the cell. I override anything we write on paper. Go and form it. Because you follow what is happening, not what you thought would happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many people fail because you feel you are so brilliant that you design everything without testing it. Then when you test it and it's not working, you fight that because you feel that it's a sign that you are not intelligent. So you struggle with reality. You understand what I'm saying? So what you do is you throw your idea out to find out how the idea will work. You don't design the idea before you come out. Because what happens is if reality comes and you have written rules and regulations there, then what do you do? So you let the data there determine what will happen. And then finally, all right, still on this, you deal with what is called choke points in what you are doing there. So if you have these things, that is how people begin to grow. If you deal with all these barriers, you create rhythm inside the organization, everybody's on board, everybody knows where they're going, right? You create a growing entity there, okay? You deal with choke points there, right? And what are choke points? This is how you create what is called significant value. Because once God told me, he said, if 75% of the people in your congregation have ailments in their body and they're struggling with it, and you do a series on the gifts of the Holy Ghost, you have missed me. That you are teaching the gifts of the Holy Ghost. What is word of wisdom? Meanwhile, the needs of the people. That's why you have to be humble. The signals you get. All right? Churches that collapse, what happened? 4 people left. They said, don't mind them. Useless 4 people. Then another 10 left. I've always told you, those people, since the day they came, I knew in my spirit they should not be here. Then 20 go. That's how you are responding. Churches that grow, what happens? 4 left. They say, why did they go? They find out why they go and they change. They adapt. That's how you grow things. Choke points, finally. This is how you create significant value. Where you get to choke points. Right? It's how you build things. They are simple things, but these are the laws. If you don't understand it, then you start struggling. Significant value to people, and it becomes the driving force of what you are doing. For your business to blossom, it requires that you have a special factor in that business that, you know, is rare. And this has value to it. Now, how do you do that? Okay, because value is you are giving people what they need, what they want. You are meeting a need. That's value. Once you get to that choke point in business, you are close to a major breakthrough. Once you get to a choke point, it's irritating, all right, but you are major breakthrough. A choke point is an area of frustration in business, which means you're experiencing frustration, this thing is just not working. It's an area there of vulnerability there. That's where you now ask God for instructions. Don't ignore it. Own that particular thing. Understand this is the area you need to master there. The place through which grace will flow. What do you mean by that? Paul said, I now take pleasure in necessity. He said, he was saying this. Let this thing go away from me. This thorn. It was a choke point. God said, my grace is sufficient. He said, I get it now. I will rejoice in these things because this is where the power of God is coming next into my life. So you understand that this is where the next thing is coming from. Identify all choke points. Praise God and take ownership. Now put up Job chapter 36 and I will close with this. And why people get to this choke point? In military terms, a choke point is a narrow area, a dangerous area, but you have to go through it to get to a big place. So if they are fighting in military terms, they can say, okay, we map all the bridges. Those are choke points, because if we are crossing a bridge, you know, we are vulnerable, all right? So, but if we can successfully do this, so they mark all the choke points there. And so the choke point is you're actually walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but there is a table that is prepared for you. But if you don't handle it right, that thing can end at that particular point in place. All right? Now, Job 36 and verse 8. All right? Job 36. Now, it says, if they be bound in fetters and be holding in cords of affliction, this is the choke point. Something is not working right. Next verse. It says, then he showed them their work and their transgression, which means the areas where they made mistakes that they have exceeded. Verse 10. It says, he opened their ear to discipline and they commands the return from iniquity. Verse 11, it says, if they obey and serve him, which means respond to that instruction, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If they do that, one choke point will bring you into years of prosperity. Next verse, verse 12, it says this, but if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. So there's some knowledge they needed that they didn't get. Then verse 13, it says, but hypocrites in heart heap up wrath, which means things are going wrong, but they heap it up. They don't talk to God. They cry not when he binded them. They don't go to God and say, they just continue to suffer. They heap it. And it's pride that, you know, I know what I'm supposed to know. I'm the one that is right and all of that. They cry not. Verse 14, they die in their youth. So the thing dies young. Their life is among the unclean. Verse 15, it says, he delivered the poor in affliction and opened their ears in oppression. And then the next verse and the final one there. So, even so, will they have removed thee out of the straight, that's narrow place, into a broad place where there is no straightness. And that which will have been set on your table will have been full of what? Fatness. So, when you get to that choke point, you go to God and ask him. And then when you get there, you also read. All right? Books. All right? So, when you get to choke points there, okay? Many people give up the business, they shut everything down, the business dies, right? But what happens is, it's pride, which means I know, I'm correct, we are wrong. And when you do things like that, it's failure, right? You go to God and talk to him, where I am missing it, show. Give me instruction, and he says, change that particular thing this way. And then you make the adjustment, and then grow against God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your spirit. I ask by his same power that you will establish us in this truth, expand revelation within our consciousness, and bring us into the fullness of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.